And now we're still out, right?
Yeah, he won't be available after the 23rd. So, think we should start, or
maybe let me go get one more look, then we'll
okay.
Ahead,
yeah. So, I don't know if you want to talk about it before we start, but I'm actually meeting with Bonnie Roth from Cornerstone tomorrow on discussion about the situation.
Yeah.
So. I don't know how she'll react. I'll tell what you guys tell me, but in a nicer way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, she's aware of it. She knows.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been an issue since they got there, since they opened that place.
Yeah.
So it's been years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I know that she emailed me back saying that she is aware and she is communicating with Tony Kubunik.
Mm-hmm. Officer Kubunik.
Yeah, Officer Kubunik.
He doesn't really do much either.
Yeah, but
it's almost like
yes.
Like sometimes we feel like Kubunik kind of caters to them.
Uh huh.
To be honest with you, that's how the neighborhood feels.
Okay.
It's almost like he's just catering to them.
Yeah, and maybe I should talk to him and see how he, what his.
You know, and he says like there's some of their clientele live in the cars on our block.
Uh-huh.
Like I said before. Kubunik said that that's legal, that there's nothing he can do about it. I don't understand how someone living in a car is legal and constantly parked on the street.
Yeah.
You know, and we just...
So that means that they're homeless as far as...
Exactly. And there's new residents that moved in that are right next to Cornerstone.
Actually, we'll have public comment in the beginning, so...
I got it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
There's a new family that moved in right next to them.
Uh-huh.
And she's already had to tow cars. Her daughter can't go outside and play because
The
people that hang out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking and the things they say and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their backyard is actually adjacent.
It's adjacent to the Cornerstone.
To the Cornerstone.
Oh.
So her daughter has one of those big jumpers out trampoline kind of thing. And she was telling me this a couple of weeks ago that she had to pull her daughter inside the house because they were using profanity and they were out there smoking, and I mean you can't help it if they smoke. I mean, but so
hopefully cigarettes, I assume.
So she said don't say anything because she had her playmate there with them, so she just brought them both in the house. And, but that's the thing, and like I told her before,
you shouldn't have to do that in your own home.
Yeah.
And it's because of them. It's because of Cornerstone. It's like, have her take her clientele and have them live with her. Live around her. See how she likes that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
And that's the thing. And I mean, our neighbor can back up this 100% because she's the one that told me. So she can come to the meeting. She can tell you.
There's a few more people that asked about
directly and say, hey, this is what I had my 9-year-old daughter. I had to pull her inside the house because, So, and I guess she felt, because she's a single mom, she didn't want any confrontation with them.
Yeah.
And any kind of retaliation.
Yeah, because you might deal with somebody who...
Absolutely, yeah. Who's someone who...
Yeah, you don't even know.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily Officer Carbonic. Judges have been very sensitive about the homeless, so you do have to go and defy.
Yeah.
It's your street. Yeah. And you don't want people parking on it, then you've won the day by doing it that way.
Well, it's not so much the issue of them being homeless, it's the issue of what they're doing in their car.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, it's a dark street. I mean, so they can park in there and, they leave their trash there when they leave, beer bottles.
And with that other representative from the Bond that left, I forgot
his name. Eric King.
From before him. I forgot his name, but he had the signs changed on Oxnard to allow them to get more parking. So that they can park on Oxnard.
And we're still have
park.
That issue.
It's still the same congestion that's there.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've been going there a few times, and sometimes it gets crowded, and sometimes
because of the holidays, you've got to remember, it was least crowded because a lot of people weren't
weekends
there.
Weekends are
holidays.
Kind of light, isn't it?
No, weekends it's fine. Like,
yeah.
Saturday it gets kind of crowded.
Gets a
little but on dark. Sundays, it's light on
one,
Sunday.
Time when it was getting even on the weekends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just go ahead and now.
Okay, well, we'll start with
I'm going to assume, Ms. Fortune or whoever else is on our committee is going to show up a little late.
Yeah, okay. Can we get call of order? I know, Jerry.
I guess we got Mr.
Oh, yeah, you already have us. You already have
I could. I'm not ready here, but okay. Chairman De La Cuesta.
Here.
Mr. Martin.
Here.
Mr. Hendry, here. Supposedly Horn, you say? Okay. Horn, on.
Okay. Do you want to do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Okay, I guess.
Yeah, I just got that. I put it there.
Oh. Yeah, that works out better than nothing. I'm standing. Mm-hmm. Just lose our little flag.
Yeah. Okay.
You stand up, place your hand in your heart, and I'm ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Thank you for everybody who's showing up for Van Nuys Neighborhood Council Planning and Land Use meeting. I'm Perino De La Cuesta. I'm the co-chairman with Jerry Martin. So kind of ask to put your cell phones on mute or off. As far as public comment, you have 2 minutes, two public comments. So item four, does anybody want to make a public comment? Okay.
I'm Malcolm Asgarian. I was a Venice resident, but I've been priced out, so now I'm a Van Nuys resident. I'm a sustainability and climate resiliency advocate, and I'm very involved in urban design. Mm-hmm. I'm actually on public record. I lived in San Diego, and they're actually updating the community plan updates to be conformant to SB 375 Sustainable Community Strategy. I'm involved in the climate change laws and advocacy at the grassroots level in the sense of educating the public about these laws and their impacts mm-hmm. and whatnot. For the brief time we came back and we were in Venice, I participated in the Venice Mass and Land Use Committee. It's a total joke, that whole neighborhood council. Anyway,
oh, really?
Take a long story short.
Hey, I guess we're arguing about that.
That award they got is just a total joke. But anyway, take a long story short. I'm here now. I saw the note about the planning for March.
Yes.
I want to let you know that there's a coalition called the Public Land Alliance Network that's formed. You're welcome to come. The second meeting of the coalition is March 21st. And if you look up the Santa Susana Mountain Park Association, they'll have the information for you. It's just a newly formed committee. I was able to get Garcetti's planning director, Kevin Keller, to attend. He'll be one of the speakers. And they're going to be talking about the Rim of the Valley study that is being, that's kind of tying the corridors between San Gabriel Mountain, Santa Susana, Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
And it's just good for you guys to be there. You don't have to, but I just wanted to
know. No, that's, no. That's
I've been
great.
Attending the steering committee meetings related to the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting, you know.
Are you talking about the Sepulveda Basin?
Wildlife, yeah. I'm an outdoor educator right now with the Resource Conservation District.
Okay.
So anyway, you guys were talking, the notice said that there's some sort of, are you all part of the committee? Because I've never seen any, or are you just members of the
I assume that you're Michael Pauls?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So should I leave extra copies for you guys to share with the neighborhood council board? Or?
Sure.
Okay. Here, I'll give you. I'll
yeah,
give you
I mean, I would like to discuss even further, you know, with you.
Here's all this for you to share with whoever you need to share. I know this is a subcommittee.
Uh-huh.
I've only attended one of the main meetings, and you know, I'm just getting up to speed. So
okay.
We can meet as you'd like to go over. My main thing is I wanted to let you all know about PLAN and that it's been formed.
Uh-huh.
And that you're welcome to join and, you know, to come.
Sure.
I really recommend that Venice Neighborhood Council participate in the Wildlife Steering Committee because this is a climate resiliency zone. We need to stop looking at it as a floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of money out there for climate resiliency. I think our city's going to hire a chief resiliency officer. I thought Lucy was it, Dr. Lucy or whatever, but she's just limited to earthquakes.
Yeah.
We sit on top of an aquifer that needs to be refilled.
Mm-hmm.
Water's a major issue. But beyond that, if we rebuild that habitat, it influences our zones here with regard to carbon sequestration and meeting compliance to AB 32 and all of that. Mm-hmm. So my purpose is literally just to introduce myself to you all, and I'd like to get involved with whatever's happening with the March event.
Sure, definitely.
And help you in however way I can, connect dots. I'm tied to San Diego from my work in San Diego. The Speaker of the Assembly is based out of the town I was in that I did the community update plans with. Mm-hmm. We need to be working on a regional level because that's where SB 375 comes in.
Yeah. Well,
and I look forward to, meeting with all of
you. I think that the reason why we did the planning summit is because there's a lot of talk about land use as far as, what can be built or what is the possibility and how to be more sustainable. As far as planning and land use.
Are you familiar with SB 375, the Sustainable Community Strategy?
Yeah, I've heard about it. I'm not too familiar with it.
Okay,
but
I have a presentation I'm happy to give. I've been advocating for that for the last 4 years. It's a law that passed in 2008, and basically it's law now that mm-hmm. we design around sustainability and uh-huh. sustainable best practices. So a lot of these things that are happening, the great streets and the
yeah.
people street, not,
yeah,
that's not
for
out of the goodness of people's hearts. That's the comport to a state law to reduce greenhouse gas emissions
mm-hmm.
And to build green. But also within it, and the message is getting lost at the community level because
mm-hmm.
they've done a horrible job and zero outreach,
yeah.
is the affordable housing component. They only allocated $130 million for the entire state of California for sustainable. I know LA will get a chunk because we're LA, but
yeah.
they're going to split it between San Francisco and San Diego. If you think about it, one house in LA costs $130 million. So it's not
mm-hmm.
really, it's nothing for the housing needs that we need. But also within SB 375 Sustainable Community Strategy, there's a jobs component, and that's been completely missed. So
uh-huh. yeah.
We need to empower our community so they know this is out there for us. The law's already passed,
mm-hmm.
and no one's doing us favors. We just need to know about it so that we can hold our politicians accountable for comporting to the law.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maddie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Maddie, and I will contact you, and I'll tell you about the planning summit that we're doing for March 26th.
You guys aren't doing any of it tonight, though, right?
We'll discuss it later on.
Should I stay or should I go? I guess.
Discuss it, but we're just going to move along as far as our quorum. Is someone there?
Yeah. Not a member, but you're welcome.
Okay. You would like to introduce yourself, Michael?
Sure, I'd love to. My name is Michael Pauls, and I am the representative for the owner of the 7-Eleven down the street on Van Nuys Boulevard at the Orange Line.
The new one, yeah.
Right, the new 7-Eleven over
mm-hmm.
there. And we had submitted on behalf of the owner a conditional use permit for the continued sale of alcohol. So it already has the right to sell alcohol at the store, but what we're doing is we are including 7-Eleven in on the license at this point in time. So there's a city requirement and alcoholic beverage control requirement that we go through this conditional use permit process. I don't know if you're aware, but the 7-Eleven looks great. It meets with all of the development and design standards the 7-Eleven had, so it's a huge upgrade of what's there. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be coming back to your Plum Committee meeting next month, and we'll be making a formal presentation at that point in time, and we'll be, being able to answer any questions you guys might have, and providing you some images and some specifics about the business itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to introduce myself. I know that that your chair had reached out to me. Unfortunately, I was on vacation. I just returned. But, I do appreciate that very much. And
No, we appreciate you to coming to us,
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because it's always good to have, projects that, are sometimes not part of our Plum, So it's always good to see that there are, people who are open and very transparent, to say the least, as far as, what they're doing in our community as far as new business or a change of business or new development. So.
And people, you know, I have a great deal of respect for neighborhood council. None of you guys are getting paid. You guys are all doing this on a volunteer basis to try to make this community better. And although not all neighborhood councils are the same, but they're all trying to make the city a better place. And
mm-hmm.
we try to work with neighborhood councils, and we appreciate, you know, you taking the time. So.
Well, thanks, and you know, thank you for coming.
I appreciate that. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next month, and I'm on my way to Palmdale, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, so
yeah.
I just wanted to have an opportunity to stop in and say thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see each other next month.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay. So. Okay, so we're on item 5, which is old business. 5A Seco Street is to create a community impact statement. No case number. Resident along the 5900 block of Cedros are requesting for a CIS to address the issue in their neighborhood. We talked previously, and did you receive my email as far as the draft?
I did.
Yeah, and is there anything would you like to change?
I was trying to download it at work. So
okay.
it wasn't really working with me on my desktop, so I'm going to get home.
Okay, no problem. I have a copy, but I'll just read what the impact statement
okay.
It's rough draft. Van Nuys Neighborhood Council is requesting on behalf of the 5900 block of Cedar Street to install restrictive parking signs to allow only 2-hour minimum parking with residential parking permits in place and place speed bumps on Cedar Street. It is in response to the problems near the corner of Cedar Street and Oxnard Street, whereas residents living in the 5900 of Cedros are impacted by the business on Oxnard Street by the lack of parking for resident and other cases that malfeasance.
Right.
So,
that sounds good.
It sounds good?
Yeah.
So, as far as we could, we need to get it to vote, and
mm-hmm.
I think we could bring it to our executive meeting once we, you know, hone down if there's any change that you'd like to add or something
okay.
to it. We have enough time for next month's executive meeting
mm-hmm.
and to change it or alter it
okay.
the way you see fit. I did contact with Eric King. We talked a little bit, and he explained, you know, it's not going to take overnight.
No, yeah, we totally understand it's going to be a long process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just
I know the response time from them is a little
and
bit.
It's continuously. It's the same thing. It's not until I call him out in emails, and I don't like to do it, but until I call him out and say I have not heard from him, then he emails me back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like the proof is in the emails.
Mm-hmm.
All he could have said is that I'm waiting for the paperwork, and fine,
mm-hmm.
by all means.
Yeah.
And until I have to call him out on things, and it was like that with the guy before, Christine Miller,
mm-hmm.
the other lady that was there.
Yeah.
It's like a pattern. It's but
falling on deaf ears,
yeah.
it seems.
Yeah, and the fact that Van Nuys has 3 council districts
mm-hmm.
covering this area
yeah.
doesn't
know his area is more like the affluent Sherman Oaks up south of the boulevard, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I know once he goes to us, it's like...
Yeah, I mean...
No, they don't respond there either, trust me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
oh, okay.
And with Regina, I don't know if you... I mean, I haven't even got a hold of Caro, you know, which is...
Because as far as he's concerned, this is over with.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's not... It's. I mean, for me, it's like another...
I mean, I can help you out if you want, but... Unless it's somebody they know and it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
They've
yeah.
seen my name on so many projects, whether it's good or bad, you know, whatever. But they tend to respond a lot faster
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's very annoying. And,
mm-hmm.
and I can very sincerely understand where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
regardless of where you live.
So just to let everybody know, I'm meeting with the director of Cornerstone. She sent me an email last week,
mm-hmm.
you know, give me the dates, which days is good to meet. So I decided on tomorrow at 11:30
mm-hmm.
or Thursday. So I haven't got a response yet to verify tomorrow's our meeting.
Okay.
But I'll let you guys know. as far as what...
Besides her saying that she's aware of the situation, is there anything else that she said that...
I think it was pretty kind of short, you know. And she said she was willing to meet with me and discuss about it. So I'm hearing a lot of stuff. There's other board members who said that we have a high concentration of mental health facilities or rehab facilities.
Right.
In the area, there's at least 29 in the Van Nuys.
Like, why? Why Van Nuys? Why?
Yeah.
But here's another thing you can do in conjunction to the Neighbor Council support letter. Impact statement, that's all nice and dandy. You also need to deal with DOT.
Yeah, that's what they're...
I would start that now. Because they will be the ones issuing the items that you are requesting.
Yeah.
It's not them. It's not even the council's office.
Yeah.
It's DOT that you need to start with.
I think
process.
You guys are aware.
We did get the formal petition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we
and
need
you
a...
need to turn that in, and the faster you do it, the faster this is going to happen. It really has nothing to do with the council's office.
Yeah.
All they do is back it.
Yeah. I think the only thing that council is probably push it. You know,
they don't even do that. They just back it. Yeah, okay.
So we turn it.
Okay.
DOT.
But if they push it, then hopefully they,
deal with DOT first, get all that done.
Mm-hmm.
That would
we've
be,
already gotten some signatures. We're still working.
That would be
more.
Your main obstacle, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's not them. It's not anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. We're getting more and more of the neighborhood. It's
involved.
Interesting.
If you have any cases that you can cite, not just that you have parking there, but that doesn't belong there, but the fact that it physically impacts you in any harm, because
your
car was vandalized,
anything
you can pull
from
the local PD, do it,
okay.
And attach it to the DOT application,
okay.
Because that tends to push it very quickly.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good advice. So.
Well, unless we have, and then the reason why for the speed bumps is because they're always test driving their vehicles there. So in order to get anything, anything to get, anything to get record on speeding there is to have
and
a
we
motor
could add
cop
that
there.
Into the letter too.
Yeah, have a motor cop there and issue citations.
That's
another
thing that I would do. I would go to Van Nuys, just walk around the corner literally right now, and go on record that somebody needs to be out there. That will get their attention as well.
Okay.
That's also a feather in your cap. Any documentation you can attach to the DOT application will move it very, very fast.
And I wanted to ask a question. Is there a signal light on the corner of Cedros and Burbank?
Cedros and Burbank,
yes.
Okay.
There is one.
Okay,
yeah,
so
and
that's
speed
why
bumps from
they have speed. The speed bumps go from Burbank to Hatteras.
Yeah.
But not
but
north
it's
of,
just
yeah.
our,
north
it's
of Hatteras.
Just, it's just literally our... I don't know what it is about our block that just nothing.
It never got
addressed.
On Vesper,
all the streets parallel to us all have speed bumps, pretty much. Except,
mm-hmm.
and they all have restricted parking.
Yeah.
But it's just us in that section that have nothing.
For some reason, somehow, I don't know.
I don't know if it's just
because
it doesn't look as nice as other areas. I don't know what it is.
It has nothing to do with it to me. Because I mean, I live in a very nice neighborhood, and we have the same problem. They're not testing their cars there, but it's the same problem as far as.
Because we're right behind the Keys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dealers.
That is a
problems.
Definite issue
yeah.
that you need to bring up because if you're living right behind a dealership that got a conditional use permit to run the dealership and it's not supposed to impact the surrounding area, and they are, they're going to have an issue as well. All of that needs to be documented just in a simple letter form. Walk it into the council's office. Don't wait for their response. Walk it in there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then attach it to your DOT application, but that would be the two things I'll be doing now.
Okay.
Very quickly.
As much
don't
as,
wait for responses.
As much as ammunition you could get.
Right.
You know?
Got it.
And the reason why they test drive it on that block is because there's no speed bumps there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also around the corner. So
yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's a couple of blocks
right,
around the corner.
Be testing out on Van Nuys.
Yeah, they can't go on Vesper because there's
exactly.
speed bumps up and down the street,
yeah.
north and south.
Uh-huh.
And they figure, oh, we can go turn right here on Cedros. There's no speed
bumps.
That's absurd. Clear.
That's absurd.
Clear open. And they go up on Cedros and they turn right on Oxnard and go to the dealership down the street on Van Nuys.
So one guy, he was trying to be all,
mm-hmm.
speed racer and he stalled out right in front of the house. I'm like, really? Like, you're test driving a car, you can't drive stick?
Speed
it's like,
racer.
Yeah.
No, but
I'm surprised people still drive stick.
Just go to the PD, make that report, have them out there, and then go straight to the council's office. Do not, if you're going to sit there and wait for email responses, you're going to get old and gray.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get anything accomplished.
Learning the hard way right now. But.
Walk in there, and then the other part is finished with the DOT. Then you'll have literally just a push, because all your paperwork is going to be in order to get that done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, are we good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll email you back and see if I had anything to that.
Okay, sure.
Statement.
Yeah, it's good that, thank you, Regina.
Yeah, thanks.
We should have
for
you. We should.
That's what I do for a living.
Input.
Yeah.
Yeah. His old team just put it away.
Okay, sure, no problem.
If you want to look at them, we can look at
okay.
them. They're pretty.
So I'll be in touch. I'll email you.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Mariana.
Have a good evening. All right.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so next.
I don't have a problem coming here in other meetings and helping you guys out.
Yeah.
You've helped me enough.
Well, thanks, Regina.
You're
welcome. So we got your project, Old Business 5B, 7755 Sepulveda Boulevard.
Right. The only issue we had at the last plum is that I forget the lady's name who was sitting right across from me.
Maria?
She was very pleasant. She asked about the surrounding areas, and I'm the ditz because I had it with me. I just didn't think about it. We ran this. I emailed this to you, by the way.
Okay, sure.
And these are your copies.
Uh-huh.
This is what's in the area,
mm-hmm.
not within 600 feet, within 1,000 feet. And those are the only three. We've also approached LAPD. They have absolutely no problems with them because they're not in that hike. They're south of where I think her concerns were.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not in that cluster.
I think one of the things that she sent is an ABC report.
Yeah.
I think this is a, I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's a document saying the amount of crime in that area.
I can get you the police status because we've approached LAPD and
mm-hmm.
they have absolutely, they even came in and examined the
mm-hmm.
space.
Yeah.
And it is such a nice little restaurant. It's completely family. There's just the kitchen and the sitting area. There is no
mm-hmm.
bar, there's no
yeah.
nothing.
What,
and they can close, when do you want them to close? They have, because they don't stay open late anyway.
They close at around 10?
Yeah, even actually, I think even before then, all they do is lunch and dinner and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually I went there maybe...
So you did see it. He's catering my Super Bowl party. I mean, I love his menu.
Yeah, actually they're good
It's
food.
An amazing menu and everything
yeah.
is really fresh.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, and he's thinking of opening up another one. They are, it's him and his wife and the partner. They're really family oriented. They're young guys and
mm-hmm.
I think they're doing a great job. And if you look at that, that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
as far as crime, I've been in that area. I don't get all nervous.
So can you tell me about the, I guess, the sense of land issue within 1,000 feet? Like, are these the ones?
With the alcohol, right, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's
yeah.
no other established, and that's within 1,000.
Yeah.
Actually, 1,000 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing here.
Yeah, there's none.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when she asked me, it's as if there were people literally around the corner or something. And I'm going, I was there, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make sure that I have the paperwork, and this is all there is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what went to the city.
And I think the reason
went to ABC
I think
too.
The reason why she brought it up is because that area is known to...
Oh, I know that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
so.
Many, many years, when a whole lot of Russians, when they used to buy homes, their first homes when we came to America was around that area, Orozco and North, and between that area and Reseda.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that area very well. And I do agree, it went downhill very quickly.
Yeah, and I
it's
think
nasty.
Having something like a restaurant that's bright,
it's
that's
really
new,
nice. You saw it. I mean, they
I
did
know.
An amazing job.
Well, yeah, and it makes it a little bit safer.
When I pulled up there when they were in the process of the work, versus when I pulled up when it was done, I was really pleasantly impressed.
Yeah, how long has that business been open?
He
so
opened
far?
It up as soon as they got the building permits and. The operational stuff, they passed all the inspections. They've been operational the past couple of months.
Uh-huh. And as far
no
as...
more than 3-4 months.
As far as serving alcohol, I mean, are
They're
you...
They're not serving anything right now other than...
No, but once you get the...
It's all by the glass. All they want is... Because you got to admit, Peruvian food is a lot like a lot of South American food. It does go better with beer, let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do serve a lot of... not necessarily spicy food, but there's a lot of fish and that kind of stuff. So
and
like ceviche and then
yeah.
right, and that's all they want. They because they didn't even want to go for the full alcohol license. All they wanted was beer and wine. That's
uh-huh.
all they wanted,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what we filed for.
Uh-huh. And as far as the
we only served by the glass
I don't even think they'll put beer bottles on the table.
Okay, so it'll be on tap or something?
Even if it's not, I don't think that they're, because they don't have a bar area. They don't have the capability.
Yeah, I know.
But they don't necessarily have to serve the bottle at the table. They can pour the thing and bring them whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess I assume that they're going to use the outdoors as part of the...
Well, because it's not even an issue as far as them encroaching. It's part of their land. They're not on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of their of that space.
Yeah.
Because I thought it would be, and I wanted to file for one, then I checked the legal description. It's not. It's part of that space. It's part of that land.
Okay, so that's part of the conditional
use. You got it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
They did a nice little...
Yeah, it's a nice. It's just that, you know, you're drinking, you know, and it's right by
Yeah, but look at it this way. When you're sitting on Ventura, anywhere, where you've got literally every other one is serving not just beer and wine, but they're serving... full blown alcohol.
Yeah.
And
you're talking about Ventura.
And then but not necessarily. I mean, think about it. There's areas even along Van Nuys where they're sitting on the side and they are encroaching and they're allowed to serve alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is that different from them?
Well, I know. It's just that you have alcohol served.
No, I mean, look, I'm just conversing here.
Yeah.
You tell me. I mean, they'll be happy with whatever they can get. But I just think it would be a shame if they won't be allowed to do that.
Well, I understand
you know
that.
I mean?
And it's also for their business to...
Right.
Yeah.
To grow and to stay and be profitable. I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
I think they bring a lot of benefit to the community. That's my opinion.
Well,
it's a nice, bright little family restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And I don't disagree. It's just that, you know, it's just that alcohol and the way that I've seen that certain people... certain board members have opinions about, you know, serving alcohol in Van Nuys.
I agree with you.
might have a problem.
Remember that hearing the last time when the other party of the other HOA, if you will, showed up and they were asked, well, what will make you happy? And she kind of looked at him and he said, nothing's going to make you happy.
Uh-huh.
Kind of the same thing.
No, I understand.
I mean, we can balance it out. Give me a suggestion. Again, whatever you guys will support. Obviously, we'll have to agree with, but I just think it would be unreasonable not to allow for them, especially when you're looking at that.
Yeah.
There's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she brought to attention to Howard, and then Howard brought it to me.
And that's
it's
a legitimate concern. If you're looking at the area, I actually agree with you.
Yeah.
So that's why we went to LAPD.
Well, yeah, that's
and
good.
They went, you guys are fine.
Uh-huh. Do they provide you a letter, or are they just...
No. They do. We need to notify them. Once we filed with ABC, we had to notify them, plus they had to go for the background check, and we had to deal with them regardless.
Okay.
But I wanted to make sure that they are on, that we are on record
they're
going
on board,
there,
yeah.
And that they're on board, because I don't... So they came out, they inspected the facility, and they said, you guys are absolutely fine.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to make sure the address is where they thought it was,
okay.
Not north of Satiquor or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the area they don't want touched as far as more alcohol use and all that.
Yeah, because there's
of obvious reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right at that corner. So the only problem is that I don't think we have a quorum to vote.
Yeah. Also, I was going to say, is that also outside, inside or outside the area, but they had that moratorium for the alcohol licenses for a while that Mary managed to get.
Yeah.
No, there's no moratorium there.
I think it's off-site alcohol sales.
It's off-site alcohol sales.
Yeah.
Not
okay,
there.
So it's in, it's on-site.
It's an on-site. It's not to be taken to, there's no to-go alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can be actually stated in the thing, just to make sure. But in facilities like that, it's not allowed by law. ABC doesn't allow that.
Yeah.
In other words, I can't order food to go and order beer to go. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nor should you. Or wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Any restaurant, actually, if you go, you cannot ask alcohol to go.
Yeah. I think the only thing we could do is to bring it to the executive meeting and to vote on it.
You miss me so much, you need me to come again?
Sure.
Yeah. It's just that we don't have a quorum at this point.
I know. Where is everybody? I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I asked them. I asked them previous, and they said they were going to show up, but, you know, this...
Yeah, I miss Howard. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
we'll bring it to the executive...
I mean, they're really nice guys. I mean, seriously.
No, I mean...
I know it's not a profession, but they're really nice guys.
I mean, actually, I have no problems with the business, and I don't know if anybody has visited there.
If you're in the area, just stop by. It's really pretty.
It's clean.
They did a really nice job. It's all glass, and it's really, really nice. Mm-hmm. Really bright.
And I think it improves that neighborhood, because in that street right there.
They did a nice job with the way they remodeled that space, and especially with that outside seating, it looks really, really quaint.
Mm-hmm.
It really, again, I was surprised
mm-hmm.
that it came out that way.
Yeah, and I think it used to be like a submarine set.
Yeah, something like that, but it was a nasty looking place.
Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't anything you wanted to look at? Let's move this one.
Okay, so we'll bring it to executive meeting and we'll move on.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
So.
When is the executive meeting?
Executive meeting is the. Do you know, Jay?
It should be. I'll ask John. Anybody?
Hmm?
I was saying it'll be the first Monday.
It would be the first Monday. Second. Unless something unusual
happens. Of what?
February 2nd.
No, you can't have it right after Super Bowl. No.
Well, that's a national holiday?
Yes, it is.
Actually, Super Bowl Sunday's on the 1st,
isn't it? I know
that,
but in my house, that's a holiday.
Yeah. Well,
that Sunday or that Monday?
I'm depressed as it is because my team didn't get in, but that's a different story.
It's probably the Packers, though.
No, it's Peyton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
George isn't happy either, then.
No, but I knew that he was injured, and turns out he was playing with a quad injury for 2 weeks straight.
But our council president, he's also a big Colts fan.
Can we move it to the Tuesday, though?
We could ask.
Please.
We could ask.
Please.
John Henry, do you think you have any influence on our executive committee?
Please.
Tuesday's the worst day for me.
And I don't care what other day, as long as it's not Monday, right after the Super Bowl, I'll be there.
Okay. Okay, so let's skip 5C, which is talking about the planning summit, and go to the new business, which is 7005 Lenox Avenue, three illegal units at an apartment complex. Representative of the parking owner is requiring advice for three illegal converted units in a comprehensive no submittal or case number, and it's being presented by Jose Octavio Perez of Octavio Designs. You're up.
How are you?
I'll stay for this one.
Well, I already have the units drawn out for you guys, so you guys can take a look at how much square footage we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the complex here in the corner of Lenox and Rose Street. And
this building.
Eventually.
Is that one of your old buildings?
I was approached by the building and they didn't want to do anything.
Eventually, they are going to beautify the building, but what they first want to do is try to take care of the first and pretty much the only issue that it has is they purchased this building with these units originally designed as recreational rooms.
And then they were converted.
And when it was sold as is and how it was. So now what they're trying to do, of course, is try to fix the problem and get it corrected.
Uh-huh.
Now the tenants that were there were all managers, which they have they live pretty much there for free to manage the building.
I'm sure they did as their legal units.
And so what they did, of course, is as soon as they found out that they were illegal units,
right,
is immediately take them out, and they had other units that were vacant, and that's where the managerial. So I know one of the issues is going to be how much will these places go for, and I think that's something that you can easily have a suggestion from your board, and we could definitely keep it.
So there's three units that are illegally converted.
Do you have the original CBO that shows what the building is supposed to have?
No, I do not.
Okay,
that's
what
I do have it. I do have it in my car, unfortunately.
Okay, because I'm just kind of going because that's what you would need. Was there a citation on this to get them, or because again, I was approached on this building to assist them with this.
Gotcha.
And they never went through with it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because these people cannot help you as far as the process.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
Okay, that was over a year ago.
Okay.
Okay, and I laid it out for them exactly what they need to do. They need as-built drawings of the whole building.
Mm-hmm.
Then they need to show the addition. They need to show what the existing building was versus the addition. You need the original C of O.
Mm-hmm.
You need to submit the drawings to building and safety. You would also need to go to planning.
Yeah, that we know, though, the planning.
Right, because all of that happens at the same time. you will need to comply, because these are additional units, you would need to comply with the current codes.
Yep.
Okay, and you need to see if your parking is compatible.
Yeah, whether these units could be...
Right, if not, then you would need to get a variance. Again, all of this is doable.
Yeah.
I'm simplifying it for you. All these guys can do is either support it or not, but as far as the process, they really have nothing to do with this, because this is an existing building.
I'm definitely, there's no question of me asking of what the process is. All I just want is their support.
Yeah.
And I think having their support from there on, it could be a doable project.
Yeah.
If I don't have their support, I truly believe it will not happen. And
not,
the fastest way to do it is go back to being a rec room.
Can you tell me what it was before?
There were recreational rooms that it was used as for when people had special events.
But you had two units that are...
Three, I think.
Yeah, three. And one could be a rec, one could be like a gym.
Mm-hmm.
The other one could be something, I don't know.
Whatever it was.
A hall.
And also, just out of, so I don't forget, you need to deal, because again, these are additions. You need to look at your open space, because this might have been the requirement satisfaction portion of the open space for the building.
Because
I mean, you know this.
Yep.
Then we need to mitigate that versus what you will show is open space, and that's all doable. Again, you just need to play with what you have.
Yeah, and where is it placed within the building? How is it faced to the courtyards, or how is it being utilized as far as...
And one of the biggest concerns right when I saw it was exactly what you said of the open space. And all of these are within the rectangle. Probably this one we can see here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is within the actual outline. So we'll talk about this one. This first one here is right when you enter, it's right here on the very first floor.
Uh-huh.
All of these are on the first floor.
Right.
And then we have this unit here, which is the biggest unit, and that pretty much gets taken here and goes all the way across to here, where the parking in the first floor happens down here,
uh-huh.
which they have a garage. And then we have the apartment 24, which is actually on this corner here.
Okay.
And then that's all of these are in the first floor. And of course, the first thing we wanted to see is hopefully that this was all intact of their open space, which
mm-hmm.
which it is.
All
but
of this is mitigatable. I'm just trying to tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there so you know it's part of it. But
absolutely.
All of this is fixable and doable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, the other thing is that you could probably go back to its original state and convert two of them, depending on, you know, because some of the tenants probably don't even know there was a...
Yeah, but his issue is that, and that was the owner's issue, which I kind of agree,
mm-hmm.
that they bought it as with these being units.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning cost versus what they're buying.
Mm-hmm.
So if you eliminate the three units.
Yeah, you lose.
You got
right.
it. So, and again, that's why we try to help them. And I don't know whether they got gun shy. I don't know. Because it's not something you want to hear. Oh, by the way, these are illegal, but I just bought these.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. But they need to get it done. Like I said, the process, I'm simplifying it. They have to go through it. All of this is mitigatable, and there's a way to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you guys will oppose to for it to be, as long as it complies with
the yeah, process. As long as some of the units that we've dealt with, we do like a site visit and check, you know,
right.
sort of the condition, whether...
Well, you should, yeah.
Yeah, and just to observe it and to assess, you know, the units itself, as far as
they're actually pretty nice units. They
well, they're pretty big.
No, they did a pretty good job as far as the conversion part of it.
Yeah.
They just never bothered filing the paperwork.
Yeah.
So
when was the project purchased?
I think 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The broker who they approached is a friend of mine. He was the one that asked me to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand they got very gun shy because they were kind of upset.
Uh-huh.
As
because
far as what happened, yeah.
Yeah, so
they
they're
did not anticipate that those were illegal units.
So I mean, the reason why is because they got cited, or is it because they wanted to legalize it, or
yeah? Was
or
there any citations issued on this? Because I didn't see anything.
When I can see it did not get cited.
That
but
haven't
that is something
been cited yet.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
something I can double check and
nobody
send you an
complained.
Email.
Nobody complained. Because I pulled the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any citations. They got lucky on the fact that whoever lived there did not go to the city and complain that these are illegal units, because most people unfortunately do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would get cited, and they would need to either correct the problem or convert them back to what they were.
Yeah, and probably they didn't happen, just like I said, because of the most of them were managerial,
right,
that really liked these units.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty...
Yeah,
I mean,
they're pretty decent units.
Yeah,
pretty good size, except that 3A one.
Yeah,
they're pretty big. Yeah, this one's 1,530 square feet.
Yeah, that's a
which is very large.
Yeah,
and then we got one at 950, mm-hmm, which is, and that one
those
is pretty nice.
Units,
it has,
yeah,
it has a nice glass in the front. I mean, that's probably one of the fancier ones that they had. So
it only has one bedroom. One bathroom.
It only has one.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah,
and then almost the opposite side of the entire unit.
Yeah,
that, yeah.
Yeah, is most of these faces to the courtyard where it's all glass?
All of them do.
Okay.
All of them, even the small, the little unit.
Okay, so this one faces.
Correct.
And this one faces
this
there.
Yeah.
So this
one
is like a studio.
Yeah,
it is,
yeah,
a studio.
Okay,
definitely.
Almost.
Okay.
A,
right.
Studio or almost a single. Almost.
Well, they call them studios.
No? Yeah.
It is a single.
Mm.
Yeah.
Funny, isn't it? Times have changed.
Yeah, without a bedroom.
I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, to each his own. Again, the only thing that you would have to deal with, and I'll be glad to help you on this, the fact that there's one bathroom may be a code issue.
Yeah. I mean, that's something we talked about.
And I know a very good plumbing engineer happens to be my father. I don't believe you'll have a problem fitting one there. You don't need to have a full kit, you know, bath and all
the
that.
The half bath.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that one would need to take a look at. But the issue is to make sure that they're co-compliant and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, and whether you have enough parking to supplement.
For which we may be able to get a variance again. We need to take a look at the whole thing.
Well,
yeah.
The good thing is I did find locations where we can actually expand, and we have easily expandable 5 more, but I really think it's probably going to need 6. Now, the good thing is that... he was telling me that he purchased the land next door. They're gonna do something there, and if he needs to use some of that,
is it a parking lot?
I believe so.
It's like a.
So there's like a covenant you do, and there's
a
whole.
Yeah, because I think Church on the Way sold that property to that owner, your owner.
Yeah.
So they're trying to. Yeah.
Budget.
So you're almost good as gold as far as the amount of.
That's not an issue.
Yeah.
Correct, because he of course wants to develop that, but the first thing I told him is we're not going to develop that until we start getting all of this corrected.
Wrong. If he wants to develop that site and it's literally next door, it's not across the street, right?
No.
There is a way to basically have them as one project.
Mm-hmm.
Do a covenant.
Literally a connector that can be on the second floor over the roof. I don't care. I'll show you how this is done. And that way these become legal,
mm-hmm,
and they become part of the new construction.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And if that's
what
he
saying.
Wants to do, that is exactly what I would do. I wouldn't waste my time by filing this twice.
Mm-hmm.
I would prepare the plans, at least something, for your next door, calculate the parking, and then add this as part of the new project, even though it's on this side, and then you connect the two, it becomes one.
I see what you're saying. That makes great sense.
Mm-hmm.
And he will save himself a whole lot of money as far as...
Yeah, because you have to file...
And
you know,
plans.
Because
filing is the same whether you're doing 2 units or 10.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, is there anything else as far as...
I guess, but Jim, we need to have you here more often.
Yeah, I know. We should...
As many times as you guys have helped me, I'd be more than happy to show up. That's why when I looked at his thing, I go, I know that property. I emailed you.
Yeah, I know. It's like... How does she know that?
Because what's his name called me on it, and I talked to them. But the lady was so upset. She was almost in tears. I'm like, sweetheart, I cannot help you with what happened. I can only help you going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just distraught.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing they could do. Because I think the person who was dealing with them on their end, the broker, I think he lied to them through his teeth because he knew it. There's an original CVO, and you know how many units are there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
and that's
to him
a damn
that.
Shame.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him.
That's me. My cell phone number is on the back as well.
Thank you very much.
And I'm very local. Yeah, this is even going to work out better than you thought. You don't need to do this separately. I'm telling you, you can do this in one shot.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And then we'll come and talk to you about it.
Yeah.
I guess we should table this for next month.
I don't know. It depends on.
Yeah. I don't want him wasting his time and money.
Yeah.
It's just not.
prudent at this point.
Yeah, and also you could suggest that to the owner as far as, you know, what course of action he wants to
and
take.
And as long as you don't have a citation on there and it's not occupied, you're not really breaking any laws, let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you'll be, I mean, they'll be violating is if somebody's moving in there and paying rent. Right now, they're just unoccupied space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're not really violating anything, but you do need to correct the problem. And if he's doing what he's what I think he's doing, there's no need to do it separately.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for you.
Okay. Thank you, Regina.
Thanks, guys.
You guys, great help.
Please, not on a Monday right after Super Bowl. Please.
We'll do it for you.
Please, guys, come on.
Well, I'll talk to George tomorrow and see. But I'll plant the seed on his head.
I'll bring cookies and stuff. I promise.
Okay.
He's probably he knows those by himself because he's also a Colts fan. So.
Oh yeah, they whooped on them. I'm sorry. And I knew they would. That was just a debacle.
Okay. Well, thanks, Regina, for
thanks,
all your help. Well, I'll contact you to see if we can get Tuesday as
part. Awesome. And see what you can do about these guys on the mobile. Because they're just nice guys.
It's
just a nice business. And it's just a
no, it's a good restaurant. It's a good business. I mean, I think that area kind of needs something like that.
Yeah.
Especially for the residential neighborhood in that
street.
I
walked in there, all you see is little kids with moms and dads, literally.
No.
Sitting in, it was just nice.
No, I was there for lunch.
Right,
and
it was nice.
Yeah, it was nice and clean.
It wasn't just clean, they really have good food.
Yeah, nice,
so,
clean, and good food.
And he's got, his partner, I think, he's got one in Ventura, and they want to open up another one also in the valley, of the same type.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it'd be good for the area.
Yeah. Given the fact there's a lot of Peruvian restaurants in Van Nuys.
But you know what? Have you eaten in any of them?
Yeah.
They're not that good.
Well, except for
some
the...
Some are, but
some
not,
are.
Not a lot.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, Regina.
Thank you very
be
much.
Be safe out there.
It was nice meeting you.
Okay, so back to old business. 5C, it's for planning the Van Nuys Planning Summit. I don't know if anybody knows about it, but we're calling Reimagining Van Nuys as far as, you know, moving towards a sustainable environment. And I did do a presentation or an update as far as in our general meeting, and now I'm doing an update because I did get confirmation on who agreed to speak. One is Ken Bernstein, who's part of the HPOZ, which is Historical Preservation Overlay Zone, and also responsible for Survey LA. He agreed to be part of it. And also I got a confirmation from the River Project, if you're familiar with them.
I work with Melanie.
Uh-huh.
She's working with Jonathan to do urban acupuncture.
Uh-huh.
So she actually gave me a lot of the documents about the basin and recharging the aquifer.
Uh-huh.
We're of the same mind. So if Melanie's going to be here, great.
Yeah. The person that I was in contact before, her name was Jessica Sanchez, but I don't know if she's still around, but...
You know, Melanie lost funding, and so it's just Melanie and Jonathan.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're working basically for free.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, with the new water bond, it's just about an 18-month, you know,
mm-hmm.
differential and delay. So,
yeah.
Melanie, you know, is carrying over... Just so you know, I'm also involved with Tree People, and Tree People's active on the urban acupuncture as
mm-hmm.
well. So there's a real consolidated community
yeah.
coming together. So if you would be interested, if you want me to get in touch with Tree People, I'm happy to connect that.
This is that I'm kind of worried that if I get a lot of people speak out, then some of them might get a little bit long.
Absolutely. So you have my information. So, and then if you need Kevin Keller, who's the planning director for Garcetti, I'm happy to put you guys together. Although I'm assuming you're probably already in.
Yeah, the people that I've contacted from the mayor's office is Ruben Carter and...
Carter Ruben,
yeah.
Carter's a buddy of mine. He's the program manager for Great Street.
Yeah, yeah. So I've contacted him, and I think there
might
was...
Might be an email. I mean, we're not...
Yeah. So they agreed to show it up. Some of the initiatives, I think there's another person called Myla, but it's like almost like My LA. But... She's part of the, LA2B initiative. But also I got Valerie Watson from People Street. does the parklets and bicycle rails and plaza. She agreed to show up. Also, I have a transportation designer. His name is Dan Sturges. He also designs cars, transportation vehicles, bicycles. And his theory is that sooner or later that, you know, we're not going to be owning cars. We're probably going to rent it because we'll be mobile using different means of transportation if we do have other than cars like rail line or other means.
Yeah, the town I just left in San Diego North Park, it's in the urban core, and mm-hmm. Chrysler, the auto company, has a product line called Car2Go, and they're smart cars, mm-hmm. and they're electric.
Yeah.
And basically you use an app, and you just park it wherever you are.
Yeah.
And it's car sharing, so multimodal is replacing. But again, it all comes back to AB 32 and SB 375. Mm-hmm. And Carter's going to be really great talking about that.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really interesting because I've interviewed him a couple, one time, and he speaks in volumes in some ways, as far as what his idea about LA as far as sort of moving into the 21st century.
Yeah, basically what's happening with, and this is all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
City centers are becoming the urban centers, and the suburbs are becoming slums.
Yeah.
So because, you know, even in Germany, because of the population decrease,
mm-hmm.
We have an aging population worldwide. So Japan kicked it off 25 years ago. The U.S. is starting to gray. Germany's already there. What they're doing is because there's so many vacancies and whatnot, they're boosting open space. So
mm-hmm.
you have more urban farming, you have more rooftop farming, you have more live walls.
Yeah.
It's great for quality of life. And it's great that we in California have a platform with a law that to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that kind of gets us funding and things like that. We get a lot of special perks.
Yeah.
Because our politicians go to D.C. and go to Sacramento, like, yeah, but we got to comply with this law. And
mm-hmm.
if you think about it, we've got two tandem economies going on. We've got three. We've got the dollar economy, which if you think of it as the 405, but mm-hmm. we also have a carbon economy now that kicked in as of this year, which it would be like Sepulveda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the cash economy, which is every surface street. So the carbon economy, if you think of it as Sepulveda, hits every market.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is very exciting. I got to tell you, I got stoked when I got that notice because it's great to see Van Nuys.
Well, the thing is that I think Van Nuys allows itself because it's not as developed as, like, say, the West Side, like Venice, where it's dealing with a lot of land use issues going for bonus density or, you know, CUPs or whatever, because the list that I get each time is like almost a page long.
Oh, Venice has the highest concentration of permit requests, and the problem with Venice is it's a dual impact zone for tsunami and
mm-hmm.
We're impacted because, A, I don't know if you know of all the displacement from the West Side into the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the only one. I'm
yeah.
the one that shows up.
Well, yeah, because you've been priced out.
Yeah, there's a ton of us. Between mm-hmm. Santa Monica, all of the West Side, from Santa Monica down to El Segundo, we're just being pushed out because
mm-hmm.
these Google folks are, and all these other folks are coming in. But, you know, like Gold's Gym went to Texas 10 years ago. I used to be the brand manager for Gold's. The billionaire in Texas bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Gold's Gym isn't headquartered in Venice anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's been happening for over a decade. One of my goals personally is to loop in the West Siders not to feel the sense of shame. There's a real, you know, it's a real deflation to be told if you don't like it, leave. It's like, it's not my choice to leave. You're pricing me out.
Yeah. It, in some ways, you're mentioning about gentrification in some ways.
Yeah, and see, I'm for gentrification. It's displacement.
Yeah.
And that's a human-created error.
Mm-hmm.
We're at fault. So think of it this way. You're talking about looking at the list, okay? So 19% of permits in LA County were in Venice last year this time, okay? In a dual-impact zone that's been tagged by the federal government as a climate
mm-hmm.
risk, okay?
Yeah.
We still have to pay for them. If they get damaged, they're mansionizing. So
yeah.
Think of the repair of a bungalow versus these high-density mansions.
Because
you're going to pick up the tab.
And you're adding more to the infrastructure as far as how many bathrooms or how much.
Right, and the total. And why should I pay for a Google exec or a Snapchat exec or some developer from Canada, San Francisco, and New York?
Yeah.
you know, I'm fine paying for you. You're my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have to pay for Venice when they knew deliberately that that's a high impact zone. Think of the billions of dollars we're paying in disaster relief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that impacts us. That economically impacks us. And it's a redistribution of wealth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since you're in Venice, you know, Santa Monica used to have rent control where it allows people to stay long and there, but Venice doesn't have that, which is, you know.
And Santa Monica, the rent control is the people haven't moved. So
yeah.
You still have displacement from Santa Monica here. I had a couple, one of them was a chef.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking educated, affluent people are being pushed out.
Yeah.
You know, the vets and the homeless have advocates. It's the middle class that gets taxation without representation.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the Google execs that they've got politicians. You've got homeless people and vets that have advocacy groups. But the middle just is being like artists, like production designers,
mm-hmm.
and things like that from Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, graphic designers. You know, people making $60,000 to $150,000 have no representation. They're getting priced out.
Yeah. Given the fact that you can't find a property that's less than $1 million.
Not even that. Rents are like $3,500. I can afford technically to pay it. I retired at 38. I won't pay it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I put myself and a kid through college not to fund some developer in New York.
Yeah.
But to make it, sorry, I don't mean to digress. That's where I think I can really be helpful. And it's obviously going to take time. It's not going to happen by the March event.
Yeah.
But there's a pool of Westsiders that have moved into the Valley. If we're going to live here, we should be part of the community. We should embrace. We need to get over the whole. This isn't the 80s anymore.
Well, yeah, and I think there was the stigma about people in the Westside says about Van Nuys as sort of like the last Sebastian of civilization, because if you can't live in the West Side, then you're end up living in Van Nuys, which considers.
It's not just Van Nuys; it's like Sun Valley. It's,
yeah,
it's,
I understand,
you know,
that, but I mean,
Sherman.
But you do get that stigma about people saying about the Valley.
Right, and that needs to just go away.
Yeah,
because
I know.
We need to deal with climate change. We have so many bigger issues to deal
with. Oh no, I understand
that.
That.
And it's so funny to me. I go to meetings, and the first question people always ask is about parking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, really? Have you not been watching what's been happening for 15 years? Like, it's very funny.
Well,
that's
an issue that we do deal with as far as new developments, like whether it's sublot, subdivision, or apartments with bonus density.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
it hasn't caught up the
not as much as
the laws haven't caught up to where we're at.
Yeah, and some of the stuff is just like not really caught, because it's just like so much stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a problem. And the reason why we're doing the summit is to get people in Van Nuys engaged in planning and land use and
mm-hmm.
sustainability, converting the lawns into drought tolerant plants. Sort of be conscious, be personally responsible by your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So please, you have my email.
Mm-hmm.
Send me wherever there's gaps that you feel I can be helpful. I'm happy to connect. The fact that you have Carter just tickles me pink. He's gonna rock and roll, and everything's gonna be great.
I'll send you a format that we're doing.
Okay.
We're getting like historians to talk about the history of Van Nuys.
Great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. To tell, like, this is what we were,
mm-hmm.
where we're here now, and where we're here toward the future,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it kind of touched on the history, sort of the present agendas that we're dealing with, the AB
32.
Yeah, and sort of like moving in that direction, you know, and get people more engaged and trying to get sort of like a community planning together.
That's fantastic. If we have like a charrette, one of the things that worked well in Encinitas in San Diego, they actually brought elementary school kids and high school kids. Their
mm-hmm.
general plan update, because you know everyone yeah. in California has to update for SB 375. Their general plan update includes services for behavioral health,
mm-hmm.
addresses light pollution, addresses noise pollution, and literally some of these kids, because of their elastic.
Is that like a workshop?
A charrette?
Charrette workshop where
a
you get all the kids
yeah.
and.
Yeah, a charrette, you can have different types, but a charrette approach brings all the stakeholders together, and in this town, that included elementary school kids and high school kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it just depends how open-minded you want to be.
Yeah. Actually, I got a contact with a guy from LA, sort of the liaison for LAUSD.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned about that because we're talking about doing like a interactive community planning, sort of like
is
this.
Is the plan, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but is the community plan being updated for Van Nuys?
Well, it's plan? No, and we did submit a community impact statement that we wanted to have a DERB, which is a design review board,
mm-hmm.
because there's only one person who makes a determine on some of the stuff on our areas. We have a Van Nuys community design overlay zone.
Oh, great! Is it character? Is it historic? What's the...
Well, it's character. There's certain guidelines that follow, but it's not really followed because it's not been enforced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only determined by one person from planning.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to do is, like, if you're going to do that, then we need, like, some sort of system that allows community to involve.
And there's a planning pool called Form-Based Code Planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit up, and you know Alan Bell, he's the guy that hit all of planning.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Venice, I was obviously an activist, and I brought that up to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, well, we know some communities use it. We need form-based plan. And what's the problem is, you know, Recode LA is rezoning after 47 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
They're a consultancy out of Austin. We have
mm-hmm.
Austin planners planning the zoning of LA.
Yeah, I know.
Totally out of touch.
And actually, I got Tom Rothman to show
from
up.
From Recode LA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's one of the things we need to bring up is that, you know what, we'd really like, because they kind of mention it in the documents that have been released where we're at, but then there's other kind of coding. Ultimately, with form-based code, there's no more zone. It's
mm-hmm.
character-based. And so if you have a town that has a specific plan and a character overlay,
mm-hmm.
the town comes in and it's like, this is our sense of place. This is how we want to build it.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes code.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's predictive,
mm-hmm.
meaning it makes it easier for developers. He doesn't have to go through the issues of, oh, my God, like, what is that?
Or looking at the codes. Yeah.
Yeah. And if he wants to go out of code, he'll have, like, a menu. He'll be like, well, here's option A, and he can go back to the developer and be like, which one fits our business model best? Well, you know, we like option C. And then you get whatever variances, but it's kind of like a menu, like when you go to, like, first cafeteria, I don't know if or Applebee's or whatever. We want a form-based code, but that getting that, just so you know, is going to be helpful.
No, that's interesting, because I've never heard that as far as what you're speaking of, because...
It's an actual planning tool.
Yeah, it's just that in the past, everybody says... If you're asking beyond what the code allows, then you know you shouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
mm-hmm.
certain people's attitude
I
toward that.
I think for designers, the only scary part is, hopefully, it won't become another Santa Barbara where all of a sudden
it gets repetitive.
It's
mm-hmm.
one big building all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But when you kind of take away creativity from
mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of don't design in Santa Barbara anymore.
Yeah,
which
I used
is
to live in. Yeah,
it's my hometown. I was born and raised there. Santa Barbara High School is where I graduated.
Yeah,
but it's not fun to be an architect there.
Well, yeah, because you're doing the same style, the same
copy-paste,
and they're not very sustainable.
No.
Yeah, because
May I just jump into this? You know, I've been a patient listener, and I'm here to listen, not to speak specifically. But you know, Van Nuys is a long distance from looking like Santa Barbara. I don't think we have to worry too much that we're going to get so streamlined and so particular. I don't think we have to worry about getting there anytime soon. I understand the fear, but we're way over here.
Yeah.
And we could tighten up quite a bit and still not be anything like Santa Barbara. You know, it's kind of anything goes in Van Nuys right now.
Yeah.
If you look at new construction, it's anything. And it's not that they're spending a lot of money on architects that are thinking about design principles and having everything just so. If you look around, you'll see that whatever is being built right now is there is no unified visual vision of what Van Nuys should look like. And boy, would I wish we could work on that.
And the community should have an input, whether you're a second grader or you're a retiree and everyone in between. The people who live here should create the place.
Well, that's what I'm...
And we're missing that, because right now we've got too much money from hedge funds in New York and Canada and venture capitalists that have figured out that LA planning department is like, come do whatever you want to do. Which I have to tell you, in the last year, because of the activism through Venice, I am seeing a purging, but it's going to take a while. We've got young planners that I've actually talked to in the county as well. Because where we were, Santa Monica is its own city, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes. Venice is city of LA.
Right.
Marina Del Rey is county. And Culver City, it's its own thing.
City,
and I'm a climate resiliency activist, and I'm thinking, a tsunami doesn't give a shit. It's multi-jurisdictional. They couldn't even handle a shooting at LAX.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with traffic to get people out of the zone? Does that make sense?
With a natural disaster, yeah.
But to make a long story short, the younger planners, you know, are more about this coding and form-based code. We need to end zoning. It's just an outdated form-based code thinking is a holistic approach. And to the closest that we have as an example, and my mentor in San Diego is actually a prominent form-based code, you know, professional. In San Diego, for instance, San Marcos has form-based code. It's not official. It's massaged within the specific plan.
Mm-hmm.
They have multimodal. They have affordable housing. They're not as great as Encinitas. I like Encinitas because they address, like, you know, you have a high military concentration in that area, and we have military here as well.
Mm-hmm.
We need to address, you know, behavioral health.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got people, vets that are getting acclimated from urban warfare coming into an urban zone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in their general plan that they're going to take care of each other, you know, and light pollution, noise pollution. So anyway, that's kind of, it seems like we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
This idea of it's your neighborhood, you should design it.
There you go.
Yeah, and I think like with talk about codes, it doesn't lend you any creativity as far as what is stated in their codes, because you could, you know, if you follow codes, you're not going to get a good product in some ways.
Right.
Yeah.
To his point, zoning is more restrictive than the form-based code is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's bad code. There's like the very first code. Have you ever seen The Truman Show?
Yeah.
The movie The Truman Show? There's a town in Florida that was the first form-based code.
Seaside.
Yeah. From 1986. That's bad code. Okay, so here we have an example of exactly what he's talking about, where we don't want to do that. But we're writing the code. So we put it in there that we don't want cookie cutter.
And even size. Seaside is sort of a like an empty canvas that people just put there. Right now we have a built environment that we're trying to figure out, you know, what are things that could be improved upon as far as the system of planning, a system of building communities, being more sustainable, be walkable, be multimodal.
Like Venice, to me, as someone who raised my child there, we used to take pride we weren't Santa Monica. I won't go, neither one of us goes.
Mm-hmm.
All of my son's friends are gone. None of the families that we lived in Venice with are in Venice anymore. It's Santa Monica. Venice is dead.
Yeah.
The character and feel and heart of Venice is dead.
I always see it being very crowded and congested.
It just doesn't feel, I feel like my city that I raised my kid was raped, and I don't want anyone else to go through that feeling. But I drive through like Calabasas. You know how downtown Calabasas, just that cowboy feel, and it may not be my style.
I don't know if it is cowboy anymore.
Well, downtown, there's a strip of Calabasas where it's just like, oh my God, like there's just this, it takes you into this other world. You know, and it's like, good on them. Good on them for fighting to keep that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Justin Bieber lives there now.
I know the part. I'm talking about the part of it,
Town. The old town, yeah.
When you go into old town Calabasas, it looks old town.
Mm-hmm.
It feels legitimate. It's got cred. When you go on Abbot Kinney, it is no longer Abbot Kinney.
Well, yeah.
It's a wannabe Melrose. It's a wannabe Manhattan.
Yeah.
And it's full of attitude and shitty people, and it's like, that's not what Abbot Kinney was.
Abbott Kinney, my friend.
You know, we got it recorded. You know?
Sorry. Okay. Abbott Kinney's rent, when my friend had a purse store there 5-6 years ago, was $3,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And now the rents there are $18,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fortunately, life changes. I mean, I love Abbott Kinney how it is now, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I lived in Culver City. I lived in Santa Monica before anything changed. I even lived in Santa Monica before they changed Promenade, when they added more pedestrian. And, you know, it was nice back then, but now I can't even, I wouldn't say I recognize it, but I certainly don't want to be there because it's so congested.
You know what? And that's fine. And I've had the developers that tell me, if you can't afford it, leave. And I, you know, I could have afforded it, but I did leave. But here's the thing, then provide the living wage to support the income to pay the rent. And
yeah,
the
because
wages of
you don't, because you don't want them to displace where they're serving the
I'm
area.
I'm college educated people being displaced. Mm-hmm. I have no sympathy for the people that have advocates, because they have advocacy groups that support them. They have unions that support them. We're talking about a middle class college educated person who doesn't make the income to live in these areas. So I don't have a problem with change if it doesn't displace the people that need to live there.
Yeah, or to service the area too.
Especially when it's a speculative market, and we already learned what the damage is on that level in 2007, and now it's the epicenter of income inequality. That's just a joke.
Yeah, and
I want to bring into this is to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.